Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Writer Podcast. Simon Long and Chris Holt here for you tonight. We did obviously have a guest plan. We did have Kieran Lee planned to come in with us today, but unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, he's unable to make it. But he has said to us he's hoping should be all right for next Tuesday. So he will be on next Tuesday to discuss. Meanwhile, you've just got me and Chris tonight. Chris, good evening, mate. How are we doing? How are we feeling after that win against Peterborough?
Good evening, Simon. Yeah, it's a shame about Kieran. His little girl's not very well, bless her. So sending our best wishes to the family. Hope she gets better. Bit of a relief. It was better. Let's leave it at that at the moment. You know, every win's an improvement, isn't it? And there were certainly stats that showed that football was played. It's interesting, isn't it? When a football game actually happens and the ball is predominantly on the floor, and both teams are trying to play attacking football, you get a spectacle, most importantly. And, it brings Derby out of its shell. So, lots to discuss.
We were made to eat a bit of humble pie because, in fairness, the game started how we both thought it was going to go. Let's be honest. Peterborough were all over us for the first 15, 20 minutes. Got the goal and we thought, well, here we go. Our predictions are going to come true. It's going to be a bit of a thraping, but it turned out it wasn't, thanks to hat-trick hero Martin Waghorn, of all people. Who would have thought at the start of the season that we'd bring in a striker that was never on our radar? He played a testimonial match, was good around the ground, and Paul Warren decided, oh, I like this guy, so I'm going to sign him on a free. And now all of a sudden he's the top scorer in the league.
Bonkers world, Simon, isn't it? It just shows you know, 1 minute we're talking about how it's beneficial to have a worldwide web of scouting and structure, and then comes along Waggy, does a testimonial, kicks a few ankles, plays half decent, and all of a sudden he's five goals in three games, is it? So, you know, and again, I'm eating some of that humble pie as well, Simon. It tastes absolutely delicious, and I'm having mine with lots of custard.
I don't blame you. I mean, yeah, Waggy, you've got to give his 500th appearance in league football, and what a way to seal it. Three great goals as well. You know, first one arriving late in the box, getting his foot on it, goal. Second one, which one was the second one? Oh, the second one, he stuck his foot out from a Mendes Lang 35-yard scuff of a shot. Well, the third one I thought was just pure class, to be honest. Find a bit of space in the box. Conor Horan had a lovely touch to him and he didn't even have to move, just bent it in the top corner. Absolutely great goal. And to be honest, I'm gonna say something here. I know a lot of people, I've seen a lot of stuff actually. Where are all those Waggy haters now? We weren't actually Waggy haters, which is great. We did actually, no. We were welcoming the signing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to give a little bit of plaudits here to Connor Washington, because the reason being, if you watch the game, the reason why Waggy's getting into them spaces and getting into little free areas where he's being unmarked against good positions is because of Connor Washington's movement. Connor Washington doesn't stop moving, and he might not do a lot on the ball, but off the ball, he's dragging defenders away and he's leaving areas of space for Waggy to exploit. Would you agree, or am I misreading that?
No, I think you're right. And I think Waggy isn't playing a nine position anyway. I think Waggy's playing, as we said in the pod previously, he's dropped into that 10 spot, hasn't he? And it's interesting. He said to us all pre-season when he signed, he's a different player. He's gone away. He's looked at his career. He's looked at where he was at, what he needed to do to stay fresh, to stay a wanted player. And we said, didn't we, his first touch is sublime at the moment. If you look at those finishes, you actually look at the hat trick itself.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic hat trick. Like the second goal for a start, like, you know, Mendes Lang's shot, to redirect that with the accuracy that it had, and then the touch for the first, he didn't throttle that ball into the back of the net. No. He places it absolutely, he knew he'd scored as soon as the ball hits his foot. He just knew. And then the third goal is just top draw. It's a really, really good hat trick. And the interesting thing as well is we've now got, I don't know when the last time this ever happened, but after five appearances, I think we've got five games now, haven't we? We've won three, lost two. Yep. He's top of the scoring charts. When was the last time did we have a Derby player on the top of any league scoring charts? And he's averaging a goal every 37 minutes.
That's crazy, isn't it?
which you know, that's Ronaldo territory, Mr. Waghorn. Saudi Arabia is going to be knocking on his door, Simon, I tell you.
Oh, no, don't say that. Well, actually, do say that. Offer is like 150 million. We've signed. Yeah, you could do that.
Absolutely. 150, we'll consider it.
Overall, in fact, I'm going to read a question out before I ask you this one then. So, obviously, as we do every week, first of all, apologies to Roy Gibson and Mark, who you did send in questions last week and I did miss them. It wasn't on purpose for some reason. What happens when you put it on Facebook, what I do is I screenshot the message and save it into my phone so I've got it on hand to read. They didn't save last week, which is why I didn't read it out. It wasn't done intentionally. But this first question is from TikTok. It's from Pricey. He says, I'm all for a 4-2 away win, but does this paper over cracks? There's a real possibility we get beat by Bolton this weekend and it'll be worn out again. Has he got a point, Chris? Or did you actually see improvement? Was the scoreline a false 4-1? I personally, I felt there was improvement. There was, as you said, there was football being played and both teams were playing attacking football and Derby took their chances and Peterborough didn't. You know, that spell in the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, they were all over us and they could have had a couple there if it weren't for some good blocking and a couple of good saves from Wildsmith. Has Pricey got a point? Does it paper over a few cracks?
Is it coincidence that the team looks more fluent with Bird out of the team? There's my counter question to you, Simon.
I saw this. But what you get, okay, what you're pointing out there, without Bird in the team, you've got a better balance in midfield. You've got Smith is your holder. Smith, for me, again, he went unnoticed in that game. But he did the job. He did the business. He did what he had to do. You know, there was no dilly-dallying on the ball. There was no panicking. He won the ball back, gave it to Horahan, and Horahan's your creator. Horahan's the player that you look to get things moving. And obviously, Tomo, he gives you the pace. And we'll come on to him in a bit, no doubt, because I have seen already someone said a question about him. But you can't play Bird and Horahan in the same midfield. It just doesn't work. It really doesn't.
I think this is why the Bird transfer was obvious to me, that Warren realised that one of them had to go, and to fund what he needed to resurrect the team almost, because let's be honest, that team was flat playing all three of them. And it almost, the injury almost came at an ideal, well, it did come at an ideal time because it stopped him from having the dilemma of dumping one of them out of the team. It sort of made its own path, didn't it? The question is now, which I find interesting again, is I thought when Fornar came on, he looked quite a cultured player. He realised that Peterborough were on the offensive and realise, you know, when you don't know how many minutes additional time are coming, you're always in the game. Even at 4-1, it sounds ludicrous, but you're always in the game at 4-1 with 10 minutes.
I was still nervous when they got that second goal.
We did the normal Derby counter, didn't we? At 70 minutes, Peterborough hit the bar. They had two cleared off the line. And I made a point of that on X or Twitter, whatever we call it nowadays, that Nelson, I thought, was his best game for Derby by a long, long way. And you've took Bradley out. Here's another question to discuss. You've took Bradley out of the equation. All of a sudden, Nelson becomes a cultured footballer. Yeah, he's a head it and kick it kind of player. But do you know what? I'll take that all day long. And then you see him marauding up top with the ball, wanting to get on to the end of a 50-yard dribble and 1-2. That was incredible. But going back to Fornal, he came on. I know if you remember, he realised that Peterborough were putting on pressure to Derby. So he was doing some really clever, intelligent stuff by getting the ball, almost taking it back 20 yards, picking up from the edge of the area, no panic, no rush, playing the ball back 60 yards to Wildsmith, if you remember, and basically allowing Derby to keep possession, but burning valuable seconds off the clock. I thought for a 23-year-old in his first game away, I thought that was really quite clever and quite cultured. And I think that there's your next dilemma, because he's going to be wanting to get in the team. He's going to be chomping quite quickly. So going back to you again, Simon, the balance has now been made better by this change of system. Well, it's not necessarily a change of system, but a change of personality seems to work better. But now you've got the dilemma of fitting the two new signings in. Certainly one, Fornar, looks capable of jumping in straight away. So here's the question. Who becomes a sacrificial lamb for him? Because he's not going to be wanting to sit on the bench for a 2-year contract, is he?
No, of course not. Of course not. I mean, I suppose the thing at the minute you've got with the fact that Bird's injured, he's not going anywhere in this window. No one's going to buy him unless it's at a dirt cheap price. However, obviously, he comes back at Christmas. That's probably when he's going to be fit. It would not surprise me if he left in January. It won't be for, obviously, the fee that we probably wanted in the summer, but with 6 months left on his contract, all of a sudden it's, well, I either go now or I go for a free in the summer. So he will go. To be honest, if Hull is still interested in January, they'll be going. I tell you what, the injuries come at a great time. It's actually worked out for both clubs. They realise that their midfield is better balanced with him, without him in it, and we've got him at a cheaper price. It's a strange dilemma. Let's be honest. It's a very strange dilemma to have. No disrespect against Bird. Obviously, he's a good player, but I think right now he's in the wrong team. He does not suit Warne's football, what he wants to do. He wants Bird to be that number 10. He wants him to fill that knight role from last season of getting forward. And Bird just doesn't know how to do that. It's not his natural position. He's a central midfielder or a defensive midfielder. So he's struggling to go forward. Bearing in mind, though, I'm pretty sure for the under 23s or whatever, he was more of a 10. But now it seems like he was. And now it seems like he's dropped back into this holding role and he doesn't know how to get forward now. You know, and maybe it's going to be the best for both parties that we get a bit of money for him. He gets a move to a championship club, which no doubt he'll fit in wherever, you know, he's quite capable of playing championship football. Going on then regards to Fornar, what a signing, by the way. He was on for 10 minutes, and as you pointed out already, he looks a culture football. He is going to want to come in, but one thing that, you know, at the minute, one thing you look at that is you go, well, you've got Horahan, the likelihood is he's not going to come in for him, because he's the club captain. You're looking at it's going to either be Smith or Thompson, but Thompson's playing more. At the minute, we're playing a 4-4-2. Thompson's playing on the left-hand side of a four. It's a dilemma, but what a dilemma to have. Or is he going to start him off being that player that you bring on late on in a game if we are behind, or if we do need a change, just to say either? Because let's be honest, we've seen him now, what he's capable of in sort of in a defensive role if needed. Come on, secure the win, etc. What's he going to be like? Is he going to be a game changer? Someone you can go, right, our midfield's getting shot to pieces here. We're losing. Go on, go create me a goal. So at the minute, we can't really get a full picture of him. But what that 10-minute flash in the pan that we saw of him, he does look, like you say, a very cultured player and someone that's good to have at the club.
has a very old head on his shoulders by the looks of it. And, you know, that's a valuable asset to have. Someone who's got calmness, intelligence. Because like I said, in this league, especially against Peterborough, 4-1 is not, and we're Derby County, 4-1 isn't a comfortable cushion to be sat on, isn't it? We know that. And lo and behold, 4-2 in the 89th minute. And you just all of a sudden, I don't know about you, Simon, I was panic mode. I thought, oh, here we go. Here we go.
One thing I will say, though, is something that you more than me really have slated Paul Warne for, his game management.
Yep.
I felt he got it almost pretty much spot on. He went, right, we're 4-1 up at half-time. Let's not go chasing another goal, another two goals or whatever. Let's just play it a bit tighter. We know Peterborough are going to want to attack us. We'll try and hit him on the break. And we did create a couple of chances in the second half. We could have extended the lead. I felt he got game management pretty much spot on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there were certain elements. I think going back to the dilemma of putting the square pegs in the square holes and bringing in Fornar, what then comes from that is the pendulum effect. Does then Smith knock Rooney out of the team?
I tell you what, on Rooney then, he had a shocking 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He struggled so much against the pace of Ephraim Mason-Clark.
Yeah.
However, it was almost after the goal, Warren said to him, right, just get tighter to him. Either get tight on him or drop back. Don't let him run at you. And after that, I felt he managed him really well. I think it was just he needed a bit of advice from either his manager or maybe someone like Nelson just to say, look, this side needs to stop him. And I felt he dealt with him quite well then for the rest of the game, to be honest. But you got to look at it. When you look at it, though, you look at Rooney. He's, what, 23, is he? 22? I have no idea how old he is.
He's less than that, isn't he?
Is he really?
I'm sure he is. Have a look. I'm sure it's 20 or 21.
Didn't he have his birthday not long ago? I don't bloody know.
I might be wrong, but I thought...
Oh, no, he's 20. He's 20, yeah. He's 20.
I was going to say, he's younger than 23. Yeah, he looks 31.
Yeah, he does.
Or well, all the Rooney's.
He's a Rooney, isn't he? But yeah, he's
20. Yeah, all Rooney's age early, don't they?
You look at that squad then. Rooney's 20. You've got Cashin that's 21. You got Thompson there that's 21. And then obviously you had Fornar's come on that's 20. Do you say it's 23?
Yeah.
23. And obviously, of course, we had John Jules come on who's 22. All of a sudden, that aging squad that Derby have are all of a sudden a little bit younger and a little bit more in the age range that Paul Wall wants. So I'd think it'd be very unfair to drop Rooney and bring Smith in.
I agree. I think that would be the one. You're right, Clark had him on toast. Definitely going inside. You notice Clark Knights go inside a lot. And Rooney,
well, both their wingers do. That's how they say it. They're both playing on the opposite wing than they should be, really. They're not, let's get to the byline and cross it there. Let's get to the edge of the box and cut back inside. But I tell you what, Cashin struggled with Clark Harris. Twice he let him go. One, there was one just before the goal where Fozzie was standing up the winger. I think it was Poku. And for some reason, Cashin decided to come forward and try and help him and leave Clark Harris alone. Clark Harris came through and then Wildsmith saved it. But then for the goal, if you watch the run of Clark Harris, he runs and Cashin just stands there, doesn't go with him.
I thought Wildsmith could have got to it, to be honest.
What, the goal?
Yeah.
I just felt, I saw this actually, someone commented about this saying Wildsmith could have done better on both goals. I wasn't sure about the first one, but in fairness, Wildsmith though, if he goes past him, he never makes an effort to dive. He'll just go, oh, no. I can't get that. That second goal though, the save obviously came straight at him. He had no chance saving the follow-up shot. But that first shot, I don't know if he saw it late or what, which is why he tried to save it with his legs rather than his hands, but I'm not sure. I think that might be a little bit harsh.
It could have been. I don't know if it was a clean shot, whether it got deflected or whether it just picked up a bit of swerve. But the first goal, if you look at the cross, it goes into the 6-yard box. I don't think it's much further out. I'm pretty confident that Clark Harris gets the ball literally 2 yards out.
Yeah.
And I just get the I don't know whether Wildsmith was worried that Cashin was going to clatter him, or he was expecting one of them to clear. Well, like I said, Cashin was nowhere near it. Yeah. I just thought personally Wildsmith could have put his body on the line and stopped that. But look, we're clutching at straws.
Do you know what's funny though, right? With like the stats and things like that, Cashin was rated one of our best players.
Really?
Yeah. When I looked on, I don't know who does the stats, but I looked on. I always have a quick look on a SofaScore, and literally, Cashin was. If you go to his match against Portsmouth, yeah, literally, I think Cashin got like a really good rating on it, to be honest. Which I found, he seems to get that every week. And if you remember last season, it was the same. He was pretty much, Cashin is like the most highly rated player in the league. It's a weird one, to be honest.
Nelson was better than Cashin on Saturday.
Well, put it this way, their rate, I don't know how they do the ratings, but Horahan got a 7.7. Oh, no, sorry, Cashin, he didn't this week. Cashin got a 6.3.
Yeah, I didn't think it was his best game.
I felt he struggled with the pace of Clark Harris, to be honest. I mean, a lot of people, if you watch Clark Harris, he didn't do anything for the rest of the game. And I'm thinking, what do you expect? Portsmouth, Peterborough didn't have much of the ball in the first half, let's be honest.
Certainly for the last 20 minutes. I thought, watching the game on Saturday, my first thought was, after 25 minutes of watching it, was, I hope Brighton aren't watching this.
Well, yeah.
Because, and again, it comes back down to...
Wrong game. He got 7.5, Cashin did.
What did Nelson get?
Curtis Nelson got a 6.9.
What?
I have no idea who does these stats or where they come from or what have you.
Is that based on like possession?
Yeah, it's done on like
accurate
minutes.
Passes. Because Nelson's Nelson did two breathtaking blocks in the first half, two goal line clearances in the second.
It obviously will go up because Cashin did score. But block shots. I tell you what, we can compare them. Curtis Nelson. So, block shots, Nelson had more. Interceptions, Cashin had two. Tackles, Cashin had two to Nelson's one. Both had one dribbles. See, Cashin had more touches. He had 65, whereas Nelson had 49. Accurate passes. Cashin had 37 out of 47. Nelson had 26 out of 36. So this is how it's all done, you see. And this is why for me, stats, they can be used for good things, but also that I don't think they really always give you a detailed description. It's like long balls. Nelson, 6 and completed one of them, and Cashin, 11, completed 3. Ground jewels, 1. Cashin, 4. He only won 2. Nelson had 2, only won 1. So they're both the same there, 50%. Aerial jewels, Nelson... 1-3 out of 4, Cashin 2 out of 6. That says a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. Possession lost, Cashin 12, Nelson 11. Fouls, Cashin 1, Nelson none. And then obviously shots on target. So he's basically won that really because he scored the goal. So I don't really understand it. You know, Jake Rooney, he got 6.9 as well.
There's a couple of guys that do Derby County stats on X, and they do some really good stuff.
Yeah.
And it might be worth actually getting one of them on the show and explaining to us, and certainly the listeners, how stats are actually read and how they actually put together, because I have no idea how that makes Cashin a better player.
Right. Waggy got a perfect 10, obviously.
of course. But I'll tell you what I found not surprising was the aerial duels combined was 25. Can you remember when we spoke about which game was it? Whether Burton. It was 79?
Burton.
But 79 aerial duels. You know, and all of a sudden you play against a football team like Peterborough and there's only 25. You know what I mean? And this is going to be Derby's dilemma. They've got to play football. I don't want them trying to compete in the sky because they're going to come undone. We got away with it at Burton. Let's be honest. We got away with it. We got a 3-0. We'll take it. But we got away with one. It's good to see that the ball is on the floor now, Simon. And, you know, there was nearly 900 passes between two teams on Saturday. I like to see that. I think the Burton stat was something like 450 combined. You know, people are getting value for money. It was a good game to watch.
Saturday. Yeah, I agree. And a bit biased because of Derby, but even I think for a neutral, it would have been a good game to watch as well.
Yeah, and it was interesting that I was reading three or four reports online, and they all came across with something that we said in the pod last week. It's a good time to play Peterborough early season. Clark Harris not knowing where his future is. So obviously, he was nowhere near. All right, he got a goal. But other than the goal, I didn't think he was that effective. He looked almost forlorn, as if he was just keeping himself fresh and waiting for the move. If you know that a move is pending in the next...
You don't want to get injured, do you?
You don't, do you? And he's obviously said to Posh, I'll play one more game and then I'm done. And he just didn't look the battling ram that I saw last year, the absolute arsehole of a player who would leave an elbow in. Well, he would though, wouldn't he?
yeah.
He leaves an elbow in, he leaves a knee in. So I thought it was a good time to play Peterborough because I think, if you remember last season, Ferguson took over, didn't he, sort of, was it after Christmas or just before?
I think it was just after Christmas.
They went on that ridiculously good run. They came from nowhere, didn't they? They were down in the depths of 15th, 16th, and then they won a numerous amount of games. I can't remember exactly. I'm not going to name how many, but they went on that run, didn't they? And gave them a shot going into the last game. And lo and behold, they had a little bit of a wobble, didn't they? And then they had to get the last game to sneak through away at Barnsley. So be it. Whereas I think this season they've lost two or three players. They are, you know, Joe Ward obviously to us was a big loss for them. They've got two or three youngsters coming. They've got a new goalkeeper. And I just thought it was a really good time to play them. And I don't think any other team will go to Posh this season, Simon, and get a 4-1. A 4-2, sorry. I don't know your thoughts, but I can't see another team scoring four goals there.
No, I can't really. I didn't expect us to score four goals there. Maybe one. We just didn't look a threat. Their press was so good as well. They started off like a train. Their press was good. And I don't know how we managed to get through the press, but once we got through that press, that's when they looked vulnerable. I felt the defending at the back was. I know we got four goals. You know, one was from a set piece. We forgot about that. And obviously, Cashin got a goal from a corner, which is well annoying because I was watching on Rams TV. We actually missed it because they were using the pictures from iFollow, and iFollow were too bothered about bloody playing a replay.
Gets them a day off, that goal.
Well, yeah, I know he does. But it's a goal from a set piece. But other than that, you know what? The thing is with Posh and us, we both played the same style of football. We both play, we're going to score more goals than you. That's what Warren said when he first came in. That's how he wants to play football, to try and score more goals than the other team. And that's what Darren Ferguson, that's how he sets his Peterborough team up to be like. And at the end of the day, we did it. They didn't. Heroic defending by us, and Nelson especially. But for me, I think, I can't see another team coming there and getting outplayed. Well, I felt we outplayed them. Generally felt we outplayed them. I just think they couldn't, for some reason, they couldn't cope with what I liked was, especially down the left-hand side, was Liam Thompson's overlapping runs. It was almost as if like they didn't expect it, but he kept on finding himself in little spaces. Obviously, I don't know why he wasn't given the assist for the first goal. I felt that was a bit harsh. obviously a nice little ball in for Waggy to finish. Apparently it must have taken a deflection, but surely it should go down as an assist for him. But they couldn't cope with that. But yeah, I agree. I can't see another team going there and sticking four past him, to be quite honest. But one question I will ask, though. Obviously, we said we've played football. You said how Nelson looked a different player. We're away from home. Do you think that's got an impact?
I tell you what, though, the noise that our boys and girls were giving out of the stands, wow. Now, Peter is one of those strange stadiums where they literally give you half of it.
Yeah.
If you've got the capacity to fill it, they'll give it you, because their chairman is a clever man. He turns around and goes, the team should be good enough to win at home, whether there's a 10% away crowd or a 35% away crowd. I want Derby County. I want 4,500 of them here spending their money through my turnstiles, buying my food and my beer.
But there's 4,500 plus, I think it was about 7,000 fans there in total. Maybe
it was incredible.
7,000 or 8,000 fans. It was about half Derby, off Peterborough. But I say it again, we're away from home. We're not in front of 25,000.
Digressing.
25,000 fans.
Yeah, I think you got a valid point. But I also think, like I said at the start of the pod, Simon, when the ball isn't being aerially bombarded on second phase football by winning the first phase and just bombarding it back at you, so it's constantly coming back all the time at you, that doesn't allow Nelson and Cashin and Fozzy to settle. The way that Peterborough play the football, they build it from the back. They play I thought they played a 3-5-2. I got it wrong. They play a 4-2-3-1. If you watch, going back to your previous point, by the way, I didn't think Kyoso touched the ball with his head. I thought it was a clean cross by Thompson as well, but there you go. I just thought that it's just nice to see a team wanting to play football the way it should be. And what I did like about Derby was how all of a sudden, and this is me eating humble pie again, and I don't mind saying it, this custard's delicious. The want to drive on the counter, you know, bodies flying up, you know, Nelson flying up on the counter, Corey Smith flying up, Thompson looking like Usain Bolt, just really good to see. Wash, yeah, he's been called up for Northern Ireland, by the way. Well done, Wash. They all were so keen to go box to box as quickly as possible. Mendes Lang straight away back in a square peg in square hole, to say. I still didn't think he had a great game.
I didn't think he had a great game at all. I was good, actually, because when he finally ran at Burrows, their left back, he got fouled. Burrows got a yellow card. And I thought, run at him now for the rest of the game.
Yeah. He had a yellow card in the first half, didn't he?
Yeah, and he just didn't. And you're thinking, come on, let's get that. Back yourself. He isn't going to want to touch you. Just not, do what you normally do. Knock it past him. You've got the gas on him. You had the gas on him all when we played him last season. You know you've got his number.
Well, here's a question, Simon. If Barkhausen was fit, do you think Lang would have lost his place?
No. I don't think Barkhausen is as effective as Mendes Lang is, to be honest. I don't know why.
So do you think? Well, okay then. So do you think that our young man from Arsenal that's come into the equation, Tyrese John-Jules, do you think that he could be the alternative to Mendes Lang?
I hope not, because I'm fed up of Derby buying strikers. He's a striker. You look at him, he's played centre forward or a 10 occasionally, never played on the wing. Don't do what Derby County do and buy 10s or strikers and stick them on the wing. We did it with Johnny Russell. We did it with Tom Ince. We did it with Tom Lawrence. And you know what? The problem is, we did that, and then fans started getting frustrated. But we go, oh, the shit. They're not freaking wingers. They're 10s or 9s. Play them in the positions you put them in. John-Jules looks like he's got some pace on it, and I am looking forward to seeing him play. Which, again, it's now going to be one of them where you're going to have competition here. Washington's got to be like, well, if I'm not scoring and John-Jules comes and he scores, I'm stuffed.
Well, they had Radcliffe on the bench, didn't they? Ben Radcliffe.
Yeah.
Isn't that the lad from Burton who plays up top, who scored against Matlock?
I can't remember. Didn't he come from Burton?
I can't remember. I could have got him confused with. I'm sure Radcliffe is a forward, because
I thought he was a midfielder personally.
Is he attacking midfielder? I haven't really seen much of the under 21s last year, but I know he played quite a bit.
Radcliffe did come from Burton. You're right.
Yeah, I'm sure he played. I'm sure he scored pre-season. I just thought the bench was quite interesting, in the sense that. The only one I found really odd was Callum Elder coming on quite early for Mendes Lang at 68.
I think that was to shore up the defence a little bit more and go to it. I think he sort of tried to shift to a back five after that.
Yeah, because let's be honest, Posh were on the ascendancy. You know,
although it was sensible game management, yeah. I felt.
70-minute, what? It was a 70-minute mark. Hourihan didn't last another game again, which is not surprising. Mm. It's clear to see that he's not going to get to 90 minutes, is he, this year?
No.
And I don't think he minds coming off at 80 minutes, 75 minutes. I think he's sort of almost accepting that.
The one I didn't get was Collins for Washington.
Yeah, that was... Hour. Yeah, yeah.
That to me just felt like he was just trying to give Collins some minutes to keep him happy.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're bang on. And this is another question that we can discuss this going into the pod. You know, we can bring that, you know, I don't know what questions have come on TikTok. I know there's quite a few.
We'll get on to him in a second.
But Collins just has had the confidence kicked out of him, hasn't he? He's not, we've said this before, Simon, he's not a bench impact player. He just hasn't been for Derby County. I can't think any game he's played for Derby come off the bench and made an impact.
Right, so I'll cut to the chase then. I've heard that rumours that Collins is, you know, I've seen it on socials, I've heard this and that from hearsay and whatnot, that Collins potentially could be on the move. Now, we knew Shrewsbury were interested, apparently. Would you sell him?
What price are you giving me?
I don't know, 500k.
500k?
He's not even worth it. He's not worth much at all, let's be honest. 250 would probably be what you get for
it. I thought you're looking at less than that. I thought you're looking at 150 to 200k if you're lucky. Bear in mind his age, his level, his current goal scoring record. There's clearly something wrong with James Collins. You know, he was the focus point of a lot of the pre-season videos. Yeah. It was a focus point of a lot of the media. He was the focal point of Paul Warren kept on saying that this is now his time. And clearly, something is amiss, whether there is a fallout behind the scenes that we don't know about, whether Washington is just basically... He always says, Paul Warren always says he chooses his team based on team ethic, which is training, ethos, work put into training, attitude. And he says he always picks his team through that.
I think he's been shocked by the Waghorn transfer. And I think he went... I wonder if he felt, he's potentially going to nick my spot. And obviously now he has done. And I bet he's thinking, yeah, last season it was McGoldrick, now it's bloody Waghorn. I'm not going to start here. It would not surprise me to see him go on, but, you know, if, you know, come Friday night, he's gone.
I can't see 500 grand though, Simon.
I put a number out. It probably
200. I'll tell you what. I'll take 200 grand. I'll take him because 200 grand gives you a wage for a good. You know, we need cover still, don't we? We still need cover at probably wing back on the right hand side because Ward. Let's be honest, both our wing backs are injured, aren't they? Ward and
Wilson.
Yeah. So Mendes Lang fundamentally played wing back, didn't he, on Saturday, and didn't do a very good job at it. I think Smith was covering him more times than not. So and Rooney, I think that's where Jake's game fell off a little bit because he didn't have a natural wing back supporting his role. And that's, you can't blame Nathaniel Mendes Lang for that.
No, you can't.
You can't. And you can't play Jake Rooney for that either. That's just one of those communication issues and responsibilities that two guys, one that's started his career and one that isn't used to playing a
role. I thought it was good that Rooney got 90 minutes, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he'll stay in the team. But yeah, going back to Collins, I'd sell him, Simon. And we could put it out there on social media. Would you sell James Collins? 200K, take it, bring in a loan. 200K covers a loan fee and a salary. 200K may actually get you a decent League One player as a signing. It depends. It depends on the outlook of the guy from Arsenal, doesn't it? It depends on, you know, he's only here till January.
The interesting thing, actually, about the John Jules thing is, obviously, we've only got him until January, but Paul mentioned trying to get him here
on a full-time basis.
Yeah.
Long-term, he said, didn't he?
Yeah. So is that, I wonder if it's, let's extend, let's see what it's like till Jan. If he plays well, let's try and extend it to the end of the season if Arsenal don't want him back. And then let's try and get him in a permanent next season.
Or maybe, is there an agreement that
potentially,
that,
yeah,
that the 4 months on loan is basically a trial? And if it goes well, there is an arrangement to sign him.
Possibly.
To be honest, Arsenal must be trust us, because I don't know where we're at with the money owing. I believe it's all sorted now, isn't it?
I think so.
So, but I heard that as well. Yeah, his that was a good point, Simon. He did say that, didn't he, in his press, that he looked at him as a long-term player for Derby County. He was hoping to be a long-term player. Now,
when does that bloody EFL trophy start? Because I think that's when we'll probably potentially see him. I don't know.
Well, there's another dilemma. Do you see Paul Warren actually accepting that the Papa John's isn't a priority, and that actually to protect our squad, we're better off playing a majority? Because obviously you can't change your squad completely, can you? Get fined.
Yeah, I personally think he wants to win that. He's won it before and got promoted. And I think this is why he's trying to get bodies in the building. We'll go back to that Clough's interview. Clough's would love to win the Papa John's trophy. It's silverware at the end of the day. Do you think West Ham are bothered because they won the European Conference League? It's silverware.
No, I get your point. I get your point. I think one thing that I did pick up whilst we're on Paul Warren's press after, it's clear that Barkhouser and Sibley got brought back too early.
Yeah.
And he's got another injury from a separate issue now, hasn't he?
I've never known him get injured this much, you know.
And then Barkhouser broke down, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He sounded quite disappointed in Barkhouser. I think
well,
that
he likes
almost,
Barkhouser, doesn't he?
He does. But I just wonder whether that was a, not necessarily a dig, but if to say that Barkhouser's enthusiasm or his attitude towards getting back to fitness may be struggling mentally, may be struggling with it. Maybe. If it's a long-term injury that he's never had before, it's difficult at his age, because he's not a spring chicken himself no more, is he?
No, I fear if Sibley doesn't get fit this season or stay fit this season, he's gone at the end of the year on a free.
Yeah, and this is your dilemma, Simon. Do you risk leaving the transfer window in the next 2 days, hoping that they'll both be back? Realistically, Ward isn't going to be back till Christmas. Bird isn't going to be back till Christmas. Yeah. Wilson isn't going to be back till Christmas, because you got there's match fit, there's fitness, and there's match fitness, isn't there?
Yeah.
And also, if Derby are on a decent run, are they going to get back in the team anyway? Let's be honest. There's another question. But going back to the Barkhouser and the Sibley situation, what do you do, Simon? What would you do? Would you recruit to cover them on the basis that one or both of them may not get back in time, or may not come back as players that are going to have a role to play in this squad? Because you can't, all of a sudden you can go from a team that's light on players to be too many.
He wants a full, he doesn't want academy products on the bench, let's be honest. He wants to, and he's one player away now, I think, from filling.
Correct.
You know, he wants a squad of 22. What's he got at the minute? He's probably almost got that, minus obviously injuries to Sibley and Barkhouser. So I think for him, it's, do these players want to play for me? Do they want to be here? If not, they can sit and play for the 23s or whatever. I'm not bothered. Or I like these players, want to play for me, I'll wait to go back to fitness. But we will move on, because
just while we're on that, though, just quickly. Okay. So of those five injured players, Simon, they become match fit, yeah? And you look at the bench on Saturday, Would you put those five? Who would you replace out of those five on the bench for those players? Obviously, Radcliffe's going to be one.
Yeah, Radcliffe is one. Maybe Collins another. Other than that, you're not going to. Fournier, you've just signed him. You're not going to take him off. John Jones, again, you've just signed him. You're not really going to take him off. So I'd put Ward and Wilson back on. And I think you're looking then at Barkhouse and Sibley and Bird, who are going to struggle. Someone's going to be left out and they're not going to be happy. Because you've got to keep Bradley on there to cover his centre back. Elder, you need him to cover that left hand side. But potentially you've got Barkhouse that could do the same thing.
Do you think that he could send out Sibley and Barkhouse out on loan?
Possibly. If they're fit.
I think that will happen.
I can't see it happening until January now, obviously, due to the fitness. But I would not surprise me to see them go out on loan and get minutes.
Even if they went.
And let's be honest, Barkhouse won't be here next season. I can't see him sign. I can't see him as often. Sibley, on the other hand, it's a difficult one because we know what we're like with our academy products. We seem to love to, you know, lick their asses, basically. That we do. I don't mean fans. I mean as a club, as a, you know what I mean, as a management system, as a board, whatever. There are academy products. We don't want to let them go out on free. So no. It might be a case of we send Sibley out on loan in January, for instance, and then offer him a 1-year deal like we did with Knight, potentially if you get to just to try and get some money in for him.
You see, I've always thought, and we'll quickly move on, I always thought that we've never quite tapped into a really good, obvious loan option for Derby, which is Nigel Clough at Mansfield. Because he's got a reputation of bringing on and nurturing young talent. He did well at Derby with some of the players that he had.
We sent a couple to Burton, haven't we, before when Cloughy was in charge.
Yeah, and I just wonder whether... it's an interesting one. And don't get me wrong, I'm still peeved about our scouting system because this is we're talking short term at the moment, Simon. We're still at the point where we've got to look at the bigger picture. And we won't talk about that this week because I ranted last week about it. But let's get into the questions.
It got us some good mixed reactions.
We got some fantastic feedback. We had an incredible response to the pod, didn't we? We had some, we had one of our best hits of reviews and listens that we've had. And it was incredible. The pod's going places, which is great. And it's nice to see that people actually agree with what we're saying. Some disagree. And that's the beautiful thing about it. We're not here to make everybody happy. We're here to have a debate. We're not your normal podcast, are we?
No, exactly. So we'll move on to the questions then. First one's from Facebook. Roy Gibson, obviously I missed it last week. Apologies about that again. But he says, quite simply, do any of the fans have any doubts about signing Waggy now? Plus, would you drop Thompson now, Simon? That's not a dig. let us hear, no more booing, which undermines confidence and makes players play worse. That's a good shout with the booing and stuff. I understand why fans do it. I'm not one to boo at halftime or at the end of the game. I never have been. If I'm booing at half time, it's normally the official, not the players. Even at Oxford, I just went out for a vape, to be honest, at half time. Then as soon as the game ended, I just went back to my car. Obviously, we touched on Waggy. Thompson. Oh, mate. I've got stomachache from all the humble pie meeting. In fairness, though, credit where credit's due. Last season, he was overrated. He was over-talked about. He was dog-shite. This season, as I said, against Fleetwood, great energy, but lacked anything on the ball. And then I did a podcast live on Saturday after the Peterborough game. Sorry, a TikTok live even after on Saturday night.
Which was good, by the way. I enjoyed it.
Thanks. I apologize. I couldn't get you on as well. You need more followers. Follow Chris on TikTok. Chris, I'll link you too.
Is it that? Or is it just it's a load of Apple nonsense?
No. It's literally because you need apparently you need 1,000 followers to... go live, so
okay.
I don't know why, but yeah, Thompson. Then, what I said he lacked against Fleetwood, he brought to the table against Peterborough. He didn't just have the energy and the movement; his passing was so much better. For the Waghorn second goal, first goal. What a cross that is! What a cross!
Didn't he look like a young Jamie Ward?
What? That is perfect. That is an absolutely perfect, what's the word?
Analogy.
That's the one. That's the one analogy. Sorry, my head's not right. I've not got my dictionary
brain.
Comparison. That's the one I wanted. I wanted comparison. Any advance on comparison? Any at all? Anybody? No, we'll stick with comparison. Yeah, he was. And he's. I felt that, as I said, he was overlapping Forsyth constantly. He was always being an outlet, and he wasn't drifting too far away that once he got the ball, he was in trouble. Peterborough couldn't get near him, whereas Fleetwood were all over him. Peterborough could not get near him, and I felt that for me, is the Liam Thompson that he was like a couple of, you know, under, was it the Rooney season when we went down, where he was impressing? That's the Liam Thompson that was back. So he gets my praise. I'm not a Liam Thompson hater. I know we make it out it is. All I do is point out his weaknesses. And his weaknesses, I feel like he gives the ball away too much. He was awful last season. Every time he came on the pitch as a sub, we seemed to lose. but whatever. Yeah, but Thompson for me, no, he played really good. But now, as I said, with every player that, you know, they've got to do it consistently now. It can't just be a one-off. But I who would have thought, hey, Thompson, who's a central midfielder by trade, playing well on the left-hand side of midfield.
Good point, Simon. And I'll let you take the floor for that. That's all. I can't believe to say this, but are you being converted? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I'll back you, Simon. Look, two good performances, great, fantastic. But let's look at it further after 10, because young players will go one way or the other. They'll either become excellent and mature over 10 or 12 games and become a Will Hughes and just go on from it, or they ultimately fade with you know, they get worked out quite quickly, or they're left in the team too long. He's got to manage Liam Thompson quite carefully.
Definitely. I agree with that one. So obviously I mentioned last week about his passing accuracy last week was 52%.
Yeah, it was shambolic, wasn't it?
This week, guess what it was?
84%. 85%. Wow.
Now, can you see where I'm coming from?
I must admit, it was popping up on the wings, wasn't he? And really trying to get that ball across.
And this is what I mean. And I don't just slate players for no... Well, not even slating him, but I don't just criticise players for no reason. I criticise it based on what I see. And I just felt at Fleetwood, yes, he got plaudits because he gave a bit of energy. But as I said, the same with Jason Knight. It's great having energy, but if you do nothing with the ball, it's pointless. Now, Thompson came on against Peterborough, who are a tough team. He gave energy, but now he's doing things with the ball, and that's what you want from your midfield.
Simple stuff as well.
Yeah, exactly. That's
he's playing the football very simple. I think someone has grabbed him, put him to one side, and basically said, level-headed, don't rat everything, don't overcomplicate things. There was a couple of step-overs which I thought he got himself into a bit of a pickle. I don't know if his stride is not wide enough to do a step-over or what, but he did make me laugh where he tried a couple of step-overs and got found out.
Needs one of them size 2 balls you give your kids.
Yeah, mate, yeah, do a step-over with a size 2 or a tennis ball, you'll get away with it. But no, fair play to the lad. You know, really, really personally pleased for him. Derby fans are quickly, he's becoming a fan's favourite because he wears the shirt because it means everything to him. You know,
Ed might be right now about his young player of the year.
Yeah, well, Ed Dawes seldom really gets things wrong.
True. Mark Barty, this would have been funny. He said, podcast. Not pod, podcast. He will have your eye out, obviously, with Kieran. Fair enough. Like I say, hopefully next week he'll be on. John Carby says, the team look much happier playing 4-4-2, but where does this leave some of the summer signings? Do you think Paul Warren will go back to 3-5-2 once players are fit? I don't think his system works with the midfielder Birdhorn and Smith. On Saturday, once I reverted back to the 3-5-2, we did not look the same team. And yes, I understand they were 4-1 up. Well, this is it, isn't he? He's got a point there. Does he go, well, I bought players into to play 3-5-2, but the 4-4-2 is working. Do I stick or do I twist? Obviously, we did obviously just touch on this about which players would come back in, etc.
It'll be interesting to see. during the game of the percentage of the time. Sky still have them down as playing 3-5-2. And
yeah, but I don't know how they work it out, because they just get a team sheet. I mean, they might, like, some of the formations I've seen them come up with. I mean, I remember, I think they had us in a 4-3-2-1 or something last season when we were playing a 3-5-2. And they had Dobbin at left back.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know where they get the info from or what. Yeah, at the end of the day, what it does annoy me. Do you know when they do? I can remember back.
BBC got us 3-5-2 as well, Simon.
Yeah, this is it. I don't understand where they get it from. I remember when they used to bring the team sheet out, and it used to be in the positions they were playing. Now it's just a list, isn't it? But yeah, for me, it was 4-4-2. Personally, that's what I thought. I don't think it was a 3-5-2.
So Smith was basically dropping in, wasn't he?
Yeah.
To make the four, he was dropping out of his central midfield role to allow Mendes Lang to run down the channel, and obviously allowing Rooney to support. Now, you might be right. I think it was developing into a 4-4-2, but I think it did go back to a 3-5-2 in some elements of the game.
I thought in the second half, well, for me, if you look, it looked as if we were playing in a 4-5-1 as a defensive system in the first half, especially. Washington would normally stay up. In fact, he'd switch sometimes with Waggy. They'd kind of switch who was that lone striker in the defensive system. Then one of them would drop back into midfield to make a line of five. It was clearly a four at the back, though, without doubt.
Yeah, no, you're right. It was definitely that formation I saw.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, as I said, bringing on Elder, that was, again...
Short shop job.
Yeah. And
that, although I'm still not convinced by him. Although he's come back, another player that's come from an injury-prone pre-season. Mm. It's going to take him time, but I've not seen a dynamic yet that gives him a starting 11 position, Simon, but that's for another day.
Yeah. Next question then. Ian West said, should Thompson and Rooney now become regulars in the lineup? Both have more than proven themselves in several different positions, deserve a chance in their natural ones. If one is short or right back, Rooney deserves the slot. Yeah, we said this, haven't we? Rooney does definitely deserve to be playing regularly. Well, we said he's got his chance now to prove that should he be playing regularly. And at the minute, for me, he is.
Don't fix what isn't broken.
Exactly. And Thompson, again, left that in midfield. Again.
The only thing I thought Derby missed for the last 20 minutes, although the game management was better, I still would have liked that outlet to be able to clear the lines and have that attacking option, you know, to be able to put them away. You know, because Peterborough were stretched. And I think that when John Jules came on, he didn't get that. He was more of a ratter, wasn't he? He wasn't really given the task of staying on the shoulder of the centre half, and we're gonna thread the ball through to you, and hopefully you'll pace, because we didn't see what we didn't really see much of him at all, did we? To be honest, he was just basically ratting. But I would like to see Derby to slot him in and counter attack. Even I think where good teams score goals in the latter ends of a game. Sheffield Wednesday were renowned for it last year. They always used to score in the 85th to 90th minute regularly. Yeah. It would be nice to have that weapon.
I agree. So Craig Venus has a few questions. Well, he says, would you be happy to see Carlo move on if we bring another striker in? And even after brilliant result and performance versus Peterborough, work still needs to be done. Do you agree, Chris?
Yes to Carlo. And I'm a massive Carlo fan, as you know. But I think there's something not right. We've touched on it in the pod already. There's something just not right, whether it's personal issues or there's been the Waghorn form has been a complete shock. Washington is come on quicker than anticipated. And we've always said that all three of them are much of a muchness. And is it a case now that they do move him on and bring in a third type of striker, because obviously you've got Washington Waghorn as one type, you've got Tyrese from Arsenal as second option, and is it now time to bring someone in as a third option? I think it'll be a difficult decision for Warren, but I would let him go. And going to the second question, there's always things to tweak and change. I'm not convinced that Cashin at the moment is the right person. He's took his goal brilliantly, but I think that this transfer is really weighing on his shoulders, Simon. This is a young lad who 2 years ago hadn't played first team football. Now, all of a sudden, 50 appearances later, he's never been in this dilemma where he's got people knocking on his door.
And Premier League clubs as well, let's be honest.
Exactly, to make him a £1 million player. And that must be something that me and you can't even contemplate what that's like. So that must be really dragging him down. I would personally take him out of the equation, personally, for a week or two. Get this deal sorted. Get it done or not.
Well, let's be honest. Come Friday, that's it.
Yeah. Bradley could play in that back four. No problem at all. Come Friday. So, actually, there isn't another game before Friday anyway, is there? So, perhaps there'll be no need to take him out. Or you make the deal on the... If the deal's going to happen, keep him out of the game on Saturday. Allow it all to sink in. Go down to the South Coast, wherever. Brighton might not come back. Me and you have said, haven't we, that the offer might be nowhere near what Derby thought. As for other tweaks, Simon, while Smith is not giving me 100% confidence still at the moment, I don't know if that's early season jitters. And yeah, don't change what isn't fixed, what isn't broken. Sorry, don't fix what isn't broken.
And then just on the transfers, a couple of now Max Burke, Kane Wilson, Joe Water out for 8+ weeks. I think we need another right wing back, maybe a young one on loan as well. Would you look at the loan market and get someone in to cover at right wing back, or do you think he scraps the three at the back for the time being?
I'd scrap it if it was me. Because you can always drop Rooney or Smith in. If anything, I'd probably bring in another midfielder.
Yeah.
Personally. I think
we've got, as you said, we've got Smith that can drop in at right back if Rooney gets crocked, So I think there's options there.
Yeah, I think I'd bring in, unless Fornar is the future for Hourihan, I'd bring someone to cover Hourihan. Because he's gonna be suspended at some point.
For me, Fornar's brought in for now, but also as part of a rebuild, for a future rebuild, because he's 23. We've not brought a 23 on for 2 years, and after 2 years he's gonna get right off your pop.
No. And do you know what? If he does play 65 to 70 appearances in that next 2 years and plays really well, you've got to extend his contract after 1 year for a start. You've got to. And yeah, Second of all, there's a £2 million, £3 million player. So you're right. The trading has started. So, I eat humble pie. It could be a really good signing, but I would bring in another midfielder, definitely.
That's all. The rest of the questions were for Kieran, so we'll save them for next week.
Were they naughty?
No. There was one asking, does anybody work with now he's a Derby County fan? So there's a couple of comments, but yeah, we'll wait till Kieran's with us next week. So, but just before we move on to Bolton, then deadline day, Chris, do you see any ins and outs going?
Yes,
I personally think Cashin will go deadline day.
Yes, I agree with you. Derby have got to.
And do you know? Sometimes you get a deadline day where you've just had a game, and I think you can get reaction transfers. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think the fact that we've got a whole week since the game means if we do business on deadline day, that there won't be reactive ones, there'll be sensible ones.
Yeah, I don't think Michael Smith will leave Sheffield Wednesday because they're in deep doo-doo already. They haven't won a game yet, have they?
I want him, so I think he'd be perfect.
Yeah, I think he would be your plan. I think he'd be your third option type striker. And I think 200 grand may just get him. I think Colo might go. I've just got a feeling he might go. I don't think anyone will leave Derby as loans. I don't think that will happen.
I don't think we've got anybody, have we?
Well, we haven't, unless Sibley is at a point. But you might as well keep him.
Yeah.
Because he's a lefty, isn't he? You might as well keep him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would go for Cashin going out. I'll go for Colo possibly going out. I think Cashin would come back on loan for a year. That's the obvious one. So you'd have to replace him. And I think a different... I think you might get another midfielder and another striker.
Do you think that's an issue with the Cashin thing, is the fact that we want him loaned back? Or do you think it's the funds we're asking for?
I think it's the funds.
Because yeah. I can't see Brighton going, no, we want him, we want to start in our first team straight away. Can't see that at all.
No, I gave you my opinion last time, Simon. As much as we love Erin, I just can't see him ever making the first team at Brighton. Yeah, as much as they were bad this weekend and got well and truly stuffed, they are a wonderful football team on their day. And I just don't see an Erin Cashin fitting into that. But, you know, it is, I don't know. I think it's Cash, simple as that. I think Brighton are at 2 mil plus add-ons and Derby are probably at 3 mil plus add-ons. I don't think the loan issue's got anything to do with it, because unless they want to move him down south on loan.
Yeah, true. But why? What's the point? I don't really see the difference. So,
what about you? Do you think they'll go?
Well, I always said, I said right at the start of the season, I think Cash will go. I didn't expect it to be Brighton, but something's not right with him. He's not a bench player. He ended up being a bench player last season. You know, Warren was raving about him when Warren came in, and he was gutted that he got suspended. But then he couldn't bring him back in because McGoldrick just hit form. And, you know, you couldn't drop McGoldrick. And he tried playing him together up top. And it worked against the likes of, was it Morecambe at home, where they both played up top, both scored. But it seldom worked then for the rest of it. So I think he had to make a decision. And it was, well, I've got to drop the person that's not scoring, and that's Collins.
We're hoping, let's be honest, we're hoping we're wrong in a way, because we want Colo to score 20 goals for us and be part of this season. I'm with you. Something not right.
But if Colo goes and we're bringing another... I'd sell Colo if we get another striker in. I would not just sell him and just leave it with the three that we've got.
You've got to have four. No question. Two on, two off. Two on the pitch, two on the bench. And rotate, as simple as that.
Clark Harris, would you go for him? Honestly, would if you had the
funds? You love him, don't you?
But he does everything. He's strong, powerful, quick, gets in behind.
What's it going to cost, though, Simon? If Alfie May's going for nearly half a million quid and Colo is at 200 grand, shall we say, what is Clark Harris valued at? Because Peter, don't give people away, do they?
I get that. But they have got a... They do have a policy of, if a player's in the last season of his contract, doesn't want to sign a new one, then they go up for sale. He is up for sale, so they want to get rid of him because they won't want to have him on a free. So now this is where it's come to deadline day. This is why he's not gone yet, because clubs know if they can get it all the way down to deadline day, it'll go for a lot cheaper than he would have done at the start of the window.
Yep. You should be an agent.
Wow. Yeah, maybe.
Or it could go the other way around. Could go for even more if they're panic buying. Well, someone might come in for this maestro Liam Thompson.
Maybe, you never know.
Who knows?
Who knows? But what I'm saying is, all of a sudden on deadline day, exactly. You either go for a less price or you get a bidding war because it's deadline day and it's now or never. And clubs will either go, yeah, that's the price we're going to pay. Well, these have offered this much. Well, I'm not matching that bollocks, that I'll move on to someone else. Do you know what I mean? So deadline days, it's fun as a fan, but I can't imagine it's fun as a manager or a recruiter or whatever. So, but yeah, I if we could get him, I would get him personally. And then the day, he's not been like League One's top scorer for last couple of seasons for a reason. You know, he's a good, very, very good striker. And I seen someone put, actually, Clark Harris, I won't bother. He's one of them strikers that's too good for League One, but not good enough for Championship. I think he is good enough for the Championship, personally. He didn't struggle to score goals in the Championship.
It depends what service he's getting, isn't it? Anyone will score goals with good service wherever you are.
that was somebody's argument, is he needs service and he doesn't get service. I'm thinking, hang about, we scored four goals at the weekend. At the end of the day, there was a point as well about Bolton, which we'll move on to. If we lose against Bolton, are people going to start banging on about Warnout again? All of a sudden, after, you know, we've had two wins on the bounce now, and all of a sudden things look a lot different. We're what, seventh, eighth in the table? You know, no team's really got off to an unbeaten. Well, Portsmouth are unbeaten, but they're not winning the draw in. They're just not losing. That's the thing. But
there's no 100% record left, put that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, everybody wants to win every single game, but it's football. It doesn't work like that. Yes, we've had a couple of sloppy performances. We did, you know, but that's football again. And this is why you can't... This is why I've never been in the Warnout camp. I've been in the Warnout camp. I'm worn out today.
Oh, good. Shattered. I thought, excuse me, what we're talking about? I never just realised.
But, do you know what I mean? But you've got to give them time. And I just think it would have been silly to all of a sudden sack Warn because we had three or four bad performances or suboptimal performances, if you like. So moving on to Bolton then, Chris. Again, another team that you'd think are going to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. Now, you touched on it actually on the last pod about how they play, etc. And they've only got sort of one way of playing. But, you know, Burton managed it. They couldn't break Burton down. If they got a draw against Burton, they didn't watch the game. It looks like as well they're going to keep Dion Charles now, their striker. He signed a new deal with them.
They've got Adebayo up top as well, haven't they?
Yes, they have, yeah. And again, they're another two up top. 4-1, I think they play like a 4-4-2 or 4-3-1-2, something like that anyway. They play three at the back as well.
Yeah, but they have that Thomason, don't they, as a holding midfielder. He is a number four.
No, I thought it was Magoma they had there.
Ah, okay. Well, they do have a natural holding midfielder. Everts always plays holding midfielder, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does. So again, we ask the question we ask every week. I think expectation wise, these were the two games that you said are the testers. These are the ones that could see where we really are. Now, we've gone over and we've walked over Peterborough, scoreline-wise. If we do the same against Bolton, do you start thinking, actually, this is working now?
Oh, I'll have stomach ache with Humble Pie. Absolutely. Because I put my hand up and I saw nil point coming from these two games. I'll be straight with you. I am so pleased that I was so wrong and we've got three on the board already. One thing I'll say about Bolton is you've got to ignore the Wigan result, the 4-0 at home.
Wigan hit them on the counter, didn't they?
Yep.
Bolton
absolutely dominated that game. They had something like 21 shots in total that game, of which five were on target, eight were off target. Wigan had six all game. You know, Bolton played them off the park. It was just when you've got the likes of Charlie Wyke up top and Stephen Humphries, you're going to score goals. Now, you talk about transfer windows. Bolton and Wigan have got to hold on to their strike forces for them to stay. Like, Wigan are still in deep doo doo. They've got to still trade. If they lose Wyke or Humphries, I think their season's, they're looking at mid table. There's no way they can continue the form. Bolton the same. Take Adebayo out of the equation and take Charles out of the equation. All they've got is Cameron Jerome, if I remember rightly. So I think Bolton will... They've got 1 point out of the last two games. Their form on paper doesn't look great. But if you look at... there's us slagging off stats at the start of the pod. But their stats tell you a different story. Yeah. Look,
well, they battered Burton last week. They had 60-odd percent possession.
And on the radio...
17 shots and everything, so...
Yeah, on the radio they said that Burton were hanging on for dear life. And I think seven of the players got booked at Burton, if I remember rightly. It was somewhat crazy. I'll take a point, Simon. I wouldn't change the system. if everybody's fit, keep it as it is. I think the dilemma he's got is whether he wants to squeeze in the youth in quickly. And I'll pass it on to you. Do you think you want to squeeze the youth in? And if so, who gets sacrificed? Everyone was saying that Ed Dawes said on the radio and some panel guests said that they would sacrifice Corey Smith. I don't think Corey Smith deserves to be sacrificed personally. I don't think he hasn't played great, but I don't think he's been poor.
No, Smith is one of them players that you don't notice because it's a shit comparison, but it's the only way I can think about it. Smith is the Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick at Man United didn't really get noticed until people started looking at his stats because he just did the simple things. He won the ball back, gave the ball, won the ball back. That's what he did. That's what Smith's in that midfield to do. And he does it perfectly that he goes that unnoticed. Because the next thing you see is the ball from Horahan. That's what he did against Peterborough. He tried to do the same against Fleetwood. I thought he had a bit of a poor game against Fleetwood. Oxford, he was shocking. But I felt Peterborough, he helped win that midfield battle, which helped us win the game. So I think people are just saying Smith because they're going, well, Horahan, you can't take out of the team because he's captain. Tomo's come in and is playing class. So it's going to have to be Smith. So, but personally, you've just won two games on the bounce with exactly the same team. Why change a winning formula? I get we've brought new players in, but they're going to have to bide the time. You can't just go, we won last week, but we just signed him. So sorry, Corey, you're going to have to drop out. I can't see it. All I can see is him picking the same team again.
It's a good time. It's another good time to play a team or a certain team away from home. So early in the season, especially with Bolton on the form they're in, because they started off with three wins, if I remember right, weren't they? They were flying, and then they've stumbled a little bit. Will he tinker? Is Paul Warner tinkerer?
I don't think he is.
I don't think he is. I think he'll stick to the same 11, but I do think you'll see the two Tyreses earlier on the pitch. I don't think that Derby can sustain. We cannot hold off. If we can hold off Bolton on a game management system, let's be honest, we'd all be delighted if Wagger gets another first half hat trick. But is that going to happen again this season?
No.
Really?
Likelihood is no.
You know what I mean? And you know, and we would love to see it for Wagger, but I think that Ian Everett is a very astute manager, and I think he's got a big future ahead of him. He's done a really good job with Bolton. I just think that I'll take a draw, Simon, now. I'll take a nil. I'll take a boring nil. I don't think it will be a nil-nil because I just don't think Derby can keep a clean sheet.
No.
I think that's the other problem we've got at the moment, Simon. We've kept a clean sheet against Fleetwood and Burton, but they weren't great, were they?
They're two of the lowest scoring sides in the league.
Yeah. If you look at the teams who we have played and we've conceded to, the likes of Oxford, Wigan, Blackpool and Peterborough, all have scored at least two against us, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, yeah. And that's, again, it's one that we do need to sort, obviously, that that out, really.
So you've got to ask yourself, if Bolton score two at home, will Derby score three?
Well, this is the way he plays it. And, you know, McLaren did the same, let's be honest. He went out to try and outscore the other team. Can we outscore Bolton? Possibly. I think we can. This goes back to what I said earlier on about, you know, remember about Nelson, I said he's away from home. We seem to be playing better away from home than we do at home.
Yeah, which it's going to be a nice pitch of Bolton though, isn't it? It's going to be a lovely surface.
I don't think it's anything to do with the pitch. I just think we just prefer, there's no pressure away from home. Burton, one. Peterborough, away from home, one. You know, so Bolton, can we go there and win? If we can, you go, fucking hell. Look at the away form. That's perfection away from home. But we need to sort the home form out. So I think, yeah, if we can get another win on Saturday, then, you know, we ain't got a game then, have we, because of bloody international breaks and whatnot.
Would you be happy with 9 points? Let's just say we don't get the win. played six, won three, lost three, going into the international break. Would you, after all we've gone through, would you class that as a positive, or would you be disappointed?
I'd be happy with it. I think the reactions from fans came from the fact that those games we did lose, you know, were because of the atrocious performances. And I don't think, had those games come after a couple of wins where we'd played well, had them losses come at a different time of the season, I don't think the reaction would have been get worn out. Personally, I think it's just because it's the start of the season. Everyone wants to bombard the league and just go win. Win your opening few games. So I think that's the only reason for it. But you know, you look at it now. We've got Bolton obviously away on Saturday. Then we've got a week off, and then we come back and we've got Portsmouth at home. That for me is the biggest test of all.
I agree. They're my favourites. I've just got a feeling about Portsmouth.
Do you know someone else I think is going to be potentially a team to watch? Lincoln.
Yep, they've steadily improved, haven't they, throughout the 2 or 3 years. Recruit well.
I just personally think that Lincoln, that, you know, they've had a pretty decent start to the season. You know, they beat Blackpool at the weekend, 3-0 at home. Obviously, they beat Shrewsbury away before that, drew against Northampton, beat Wickham as well. They've only lost one game this season. That was against Bolton on opening day away. I just think their potential screw in the wheel, I do. I think they're the potential just to disrupt things a little bit in the top six, come away from the normality of who people think are going to get it. I think Lincoln are potentially one to watch for top six.
Could well happen, Simon. It's going to be the league has already told us that it's topsy-turvy. Some of the results we've had already, and we're only five games in, are just crazy. You know, who would have thought that Northampton would have beat Peterborough? You know, the Wigan hit four past Bolton. There's some, you know, Stevenage on 10 points. You know, it's Port Vale on 10 points. It's a bonkers, but it will sort itself out. Give it 10 games, and the cream always rises to the top. The true top 10 normally forms by November, and it very seldomly changes. Yeah. So what are you going to go for score wise, Simon, as we wrap up the show?
I'm going to go for another loss, because if I did that, then we win again.
Go on then.
No, I can't do it. I can't do it again. I generally think we have got a chance. But I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw, to be honest.
Okay. It's a high scoring game.
I just think both teams can score goals, but both teams are, I just think we've got, we know now we can score, whether it's home or whether it's away. We know, you know, we've got Waggy on form at the minute. And things now are starting to tick for us. And I just think as every game goes, we're improving with each game. But I do still see weaknesses at the back, especially when it comes to pace. And if you look at, you know, Bolton's front line, again, they've got pace, and that's where they're potentially going to cause us issues.
Well, I'm going to go for a 2-1 smash and grab.
Oh, yeah.
I put my hand up. And like I said, my belly is aching with humble pie, and I'm going to have to take a couple of Rene. I'm going to go for a 2-1 smash and grab. I've got a feeling that Waghorn is going to continue this fine vein of form. I think he's going to have one of those bonkers seasons that just happen once in a lifetime. McGoldrick last year hit his highest goal tally in his career. I've just got a feeling that Waggy could have the same. I also think that we look really dangerous now on set plays. That's one thing we haven't even discussed. We always look competitive on a dead ball situation. So I've got a feeling if we get a corner or two, Bolton aren't the best of defending corners. One thing I will say, I'm going to go 2-1. I'm going to go Waghorn. I'm going to go Nelson. One thing I will say before we go, there's some interesting fixtures this weekend, and six of the big seven play each other. Blackpool play Wigan, Bolton Derby, Peterborough go to Portsmouth.
They've got Portsmouth tonight in the cup.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. You'll know where, I think you'll know quite quickly going into the international break who are the teams to watch. I could see a lot of draws this weekend. If Derby do scrape a win this weekend, Simon, it'll be awesome to go into the international break in the top six. But I'll take a draw, but I'm going for a 2-1 smash and grab.
Can I just say what was funny about the weekend is when we were 1-0 down, you text me going, shite. And I messaged you back.
You just threw me under a bloody bus. Swine.
Hold on. But I then messaged you back saying, well, we knew it would be anyway. And then you went, I can't see it changing. And literally, just as you sent that, Waggy banged in the first one. And I messaged you back saying, Waggy can. And then, then Cashin scored. And it was, you text me going, I'm gobsmacked. Good response. And then, obviously, the third one, when Waggy got his second, I went, this is unreal. And you put, wow. And then we found a message on Facebook saying, you deleted that last podcast. Yeah, lads. But, hey, we both said it, you know. I was reluctant to say we were going to get beat because I hate doing it. And in fairness, you were too, Chris, but you were adamant we were going to get whooped, and it did feel like that. But we were proven wrong, and I'd rather be proven wrong in like that.
Absolutely. And Simon, anyone who says they had a 4-1 bet, they're a bunch of lying so-and-sos.
I agree with that.
There's not one Derby County fan ever anywhere in the world who had a 4-1 bet on Saturday. I don't give a shite what they say. There was nobody who had 4-1. And if they've got
4-2.
Sorry, 4-2.
We all forgot that second goal, didn't we?
We all forget that second goal. A 4-2 betting slip. If anyone's got a 4-2 prediction betting slip, please send us a copy and I will buy them a Happy Meal.
Oh dear.
No expense spared on the Rams Writer podcast, Simon.
No, this is true. Well, we might as well end the show there then. So yeah, thank you guys. Thanks, Chris, for your time this evening. We hope to get Kieran next week. As I say, it was planned and everything. And
literally seconds before we came on air, wasn't it?
Yeah. Unfortunately, his daughter's not well. But we'll hope to get him back. We'll hope to get him on next week. So, thank you all for listening. Remember to like, share, and subscribe. Remember to follow Chris on TikTok because he needs to get his followers up, because we did it. Well, I did a TikTok live, tried to get Chris on. And to be honest, was going for an hour and a half, 2 hours the other day.
It was good. It was good. And again, there's some good increases of traffic, mate. You're doing a great job on there.
I tried. But yeah, as always, guys, thank you for all your support. We've had, Chris mentioned it, we've had some really high numbers this over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, appreciate that so much. Remember, if you're not, remember to like, share, subscribe. And as always, we shall see you next time. See you next week. Come on, Derby.